What did you buy yesterday?
I got, so I went to H&M and I got a new pair of jeans, which I'm trying to keep up to buying jeans now. Mm. So yeah, I got some really nice wide fit, but they were a bit more cropped for summer.
Ooh.
But really, really pretty cropped fit jeans. And I got like a few white tops, because I think you can't go wrong with a white tee.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard to find a white t-shirt that isn't see-through.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't show your bra.
I got one from Sainsbury's, which is really nice.
Oh, Sainsbury's meant to have some nice stuff. They're meant to have really nice baby stuff as well.
Yeah, they do. And they, apparently Sainsbury's baby clothes wash the best.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell my sister.
Yeah. For your nephew.
Yeah, I was going to say, a few of my friends were like, if you're going to go shopping for anywhere for him, Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And then Asda, George, is meant to be really good. But I like Asda, George for, like, our age as well.
Yeah.
I think it's really cute.
I honestly get most of my clothes from Asda. Mm. Like, because it's my little treat to myself when I go food shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, Milo.
Sir.
Oh, dear.
Milo. Yeah, you get your toy, mate.
Come here.
Where's your toy?
Get your elephant.
It's because you can hear a dog barking somewhere. You're telling him off.
Yeah, I get most of my clothes from Asda.
Yeah, I think they're good because it's like trendy while still decent pricing.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
But I think it's it's for the baby stuff. Tesco, they have barely any boy stuff. They favour girl stuff.
See, yeah. That's unusual though, because a lot of the times you'll find that most places will have a lot of boy stuff.
No, it had like two rows of boy and then the rest of the aisle was girls, and I was like, bruh.
But it's getting to summer now, like spring and summer, and girl clothes for summer are easier.
Yeah, dresses, skirts or whatever.
Whereas in winter it's like more boy clothes.
Yeah, dungarees, boys will wear.
Why are we talking about babies?
I don't know. It leads on to really great way to lead on to this week's episode.
It is. Yeah. Shall we dive in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello and welcome to Nail Tech Natters, the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Liv.
I'm Shan.
And today we're bringing you a slightly different episode because it is not nail related at all.
It's not. This is for anyone. Whoever's listening,
yeah,
you can probably relate to this.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about basically just all about being in your 20s.
Yeah.
Like the highs, the lows. Like, we just thought it would be a nice episode to do that a lot of people could probably like relate to. And as you know, like me and Shan are both very, like two very different people. So I'd imagine that we have different experiences.
Yes. And I think as well, I think being nail techs, we realise how many women probably struggle in the 20s.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's spoken about enough. And I think, especially with social media these days, people see what other people are up to and compare their lives. So we thought it would be a really good episode that would help many people and kind of just maybe make other people think that it's okay to be where they're at at the time. Because I know I could have done with this at the beginning of my 20s, like someone just sitting and talking about their experience or what it's actually like. So yeah,
I do think that you feel like quite alone in like in that area, like that part of your life, like figuring out what you want to do with your life and like feeling like maybe you don't have all your shit together and I don't know, it feels, can sometimes feel a little bit lonely.
Yeah, I think as well, it's very, at the start of your 20s, you're like, I've got ages.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you blink, and for some reason, as soon as you turn like 25 and then it's 26, it's
I know.
I've got no time left, this is it, I need to figure it all out. But I don't really know where it came from that in your 20s, you have to have it figured out, because they say, don't you, your 20s are figuring out and your 30s are for living it, like why?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it does sort of, for me, that sort of feels true. Because I feel like...
Yeah, for me it feels true. I'm going to say, it's weird that they say it, but it is kind of right.
Yeah, it is kind of right.
Yeah, it is.
Because I feel like I've pretty much got most things figured out.
Mm.
But I think, like, by the time I'm 30, it's definitely a goal that I'm like I've bought a house and, you know, things like that. Like, I want to by the time I'm 30, have my shit together a little bit more so I can enjoy life.
It's slowly getting your shit together. Yeah. You don't just have it together, it's slowly getting to that point. But I think as well, now it's changed so much in the last couple of years because of money and how much everything's gone up. And money factors into so many things. And I think a lot of people think, oh, money isn't a big thing, but like, if you...
It's everything, really.
It is it now, it is, growing up with it now, because it's the... Money has always been the main reason that we, me and Oliver, haven't done some things.
Yeah.
But I do think in 2025, everything's just changed. Like, in, let's be honest, the last couple of years, what's changed the most? Probably social media and technology and money and all this inflation and everything. And, like, when I go see my grandma, all she says to me is, like, you know, when are me and Oliver going to get married and when are we going to have kids and all these things. And it's like, Grandma... When you got married, love, your wedding probably cost you a fiver. My, like, weddings these days, I can't even begin to talk about
how
I feel expensive like everything is.
There's so many topics that we want to talk about. Because I'm in the process of, obviously, sorting out the wedding and planning and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, we can get your view on it as well. Oh, that's brilliant.
But I wanted to start by asking you about owning your house. Because how old were you when you bought this house? It was 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, 6 years in April.
So, like, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? I was 22. I think it meant 2022. I was like,
No. You were 22.
Come on now. Come on. Yeah, it was April 2019. We got this house.
Okay.
Yeah. So, however old I was then, 22.
22, yeah. So, how did you, like, when you were buying the house, did you feel like, oh, like, I'm moving up in the world.
It honestly kind of came out of nowhere. It was just like this house became available and we came to see it and I didn't think out of it. But yeah, when I bought it, I mean, this were back when I don't even know if they do them
anymore. Did you buy it during COVID? No, just before COVID.
Just before COVID. The year we got before. Milo. Everyone thinks Milo's a COVID dog, but he wasn't. We got him literally just before, but he was still affected by it.
Yeah.
So we had all his puppy classes booked and everything, and then COVID came. And
he's a COVID baby.
He's very obvious he's a COVID baby, my poor little darling. Look, he's sat by the door again.
No, Milo. Come here.
Milo's got a funny tummy in this episode, guys, and he just keeps thinking he needs to go outside, and he doesn't. Liv gets up to open the door, and then he just looks at her like, ha-ha! Jokes on you, and then he runs away.
I think he wants attention, so he'll sit with
probably
you.
Milo, why don't you come here, darling? You come in. Get in your bed, then. Go on, then.
In your bed.
Have a sleep. Good boy.
He's always interrupting.
I know, literally. It's just like, I just want everyone to know that I am here for this episode. I'm just in the corner.
I feel like every episode.
I know. He's like, something happens, But yeah, so, yeah, with my house, it's like, when I first got it, I just think, again, I was so young where it was... It's hard because I don't really remember a lot of back then. Like I've said to you before, Anna, I struggle to remember things. But I remember feeling really happy and really achieved, but probably not realising how much of an achievement it was. Now I understand it.
Yeah.
But back then also, prices were different.
Yes.
Like this house, if this went on the market now, would be so much ridiculously more. We got this for 100.
Oh my god.
And it's
god.
A 3-bedroom with a garden, a basement, where the end of a terrace.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
Granted, we don't have like a drive or anything, but.
You're going to make so much money off this house.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And like, we've redid the bathroom, we redid most of the flooring and things, so it's little things like that, but I don't think I realised then how good it was.
Yeah, like you didn't have that moment where you were like, oh wow, this is like.
No.
I've achieved something massive that so many people struggle to achieve.
Yeah, no, it was very much like still probably comparing and being like, okay, but what does that person's house look like? Mine don't look like that. And I say to Oliver, probably only in the last 2 years, I've actually realised how lovely this house actually is and how grateful I am
it's
to be able to have it.
It's a gorgeous house.
Yeah, whereas a couple of years ago, I was like, it's not good enough. Yeah. It's not this enough, it's not that. And it's, again, it were comparing and seeing other people online and what they were maybe doing to their gardens or what they were, like, I see a lot of people, they move into the house and they instantly have this redone and this redone and this redone. I honestly want to just say to people, like, okay, that's great, but are you putting that on a credit card?
Yeah.
Have you saved the money for it? Because then you've got the whole thing of, well, I don't have that money saved to do that, so am I not saving enough? Am I not earning enough? And then that's when the whole thing spirals again. But
there's a massive lack of transparency, I think.
Yes.
Because it's like, you see, like, I follow this girl on TikTok. I think she's called Rue. I don't know if you maybe know her. She's pregnant at the moment. But they've just bought a house and they've moved out of a flat into a house.
Yeah.
I don't think she owned a flat. But she's like been able to afford to do like everything pretty much straight away, or at least that's how she's making it seem.
Yes.
And I'm like, how are you really making that much money off social media?
I know.
Like, crazy.
But then it's like almost like you want to dive deep and like say to that person, okay, but how are you actually affording that? Like, is it a finance thing? Is it a, which obviously is none of our business anyway.
No, but you want to know for your own comfort, don't
because
you?
Because I assume with every single person I ever see doing something, if they're going on holiday or they're getting married or they're doing all this, I think they've saved up and paid for that outright.
Yeah.
And then that's when it makes me look and think, well, wow, I couldn't afford to pay for a wedding now, or I couldn't afford to, like...
Well, it's not the case. Like, it's not true, is it? It's not.
Now it's becoming more clear what actually probably goes on.
Yeah, because, like, at the end of the day, you'll find that most people are in the exact same position as we are.
Yeah.
Like, if you are going on a holiday, you're paying it off, like, bit by bit, or...
Yeah.
You know, like, but if you buy a new sofa, you need it on finance because you can't afford to buy it outright.
Yeah.
Things like that.
But then I think it's little things like that that probably, even though it's a great achievement, it can make you feel like you're doing it the wrong way, or you haven't done it the right way. And... because obviously I was so young when I did move house, which I do look back now and I think, wow, 22 is
that
young.
Is really
to,
young.
But me and Oliver had already lived together for a good couple of years, so we already knew what it was like living together.
And you were together for like 4 years by that point.
Yeah, it was, look at you just knowing my life. You know it better than I do. You just crack on, love, you know what I mean? I don't, it's a good job you're here, because I'd still be figuring out what year it was that I got my house. But I do think that, like, I didn't realise how young I was. And probably how naive I was to it all. Like, looking back now, I am like, wow.
Yeah.
I was so young, and, like, doing something like this is such a big thing.
It is massive.
Yeah, but then it's... I go through my house, and there's so many things I want to get done to my house. And I think I feel very frustrated that I can't afford to do the things I want to do.
Yeah.
Or at least pay for it outright. Like, you know, I could do finance and things like that, but... I can't afford to do things outright, and then I get frustrated, and that makes me feel negatively towards my house, because I'm like, well, you should be earning more like that person is or that person is, but then
you've got to look at the bigger picture.
Whereas, like, me and Oliver, we're the kind of people, we don't really want any credit cards. Like, we've done that, got out of it, don't want to do it again. Whereas all these people I'm seeing on social media, they're doing all these things to the house, it's like, right, but they might have a 20 grand credit card bill, or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think in regards to house, like, do you own your house then, or are you renting?
We rent off my mum.
Yes,
my mum's house.
Yeah.
So I think, like, me and Harvey, it's probably only in the past like year and a half that we've really let go of the idea of, like, buying a house. Like, I think when we tried to make it our, like, sole goal was to, like, we need to get out of debt so that we can save for a deposit and we can buy a house. And, like, we still have that goal in sight, but we're not, we've sort of, like, let go of the pressure of it.
Yeah.
And just sort of been like, we're very fortunate to be in the position that we're in the house that we're in.
Yeah.
And paying as little as we do. You know, like, because it allows us to have our animals, and it's, you know, we have complete freedom over what we want to do with the house.
Yeah.
Like, my mum's not bothered as long as the house is looked after. And, like, I think I've just come to realise that I'm very fortunate to be in that position.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, like, oh, I need to own this house, or I need to go and buy my own house. Like, it's not really important. It's still my home. Like,
yeah.
And that house that we live in is the house that I've lived in forever. Like, it's my childhood home. I've moved out briefly with an ex-boyfriend, but we won't talk about that.
That's an episode for another day.
I've lived there forever, so, you know, it is very much my home. And I think, like, I don't know, I think, like, in this day and age, it's really fucking hard.
Yeah, I think as well, like, in regards to looking at it and, like, the difference in what people are wanting to achieve and stuff. And we're going to, like, cover everything in this episode, like, loads of different areas and things. But I think especially when it comes to houses. So I've bought my own house, and I'm looking at all these other people on, like, social media that are doing up their house. And I'm thinking, wow, I wish I could do all that.
Yeah.
But then someone's probably looking at me and thinking, well, at least I wish I could own a house.
Yeah.
And then, but that person might be like, for example, renting.
Yeah.
Wow, they were thinking, I wish I could own a house, but they're renting. Someone might think, I wish I had enough money to be able to rent.
I know.
I wish I had a place I could call my home. So it's like we are all looking, instead of looking at who's thinking, wow, look at what you've achieved, you're looking at what the next person achieved. And honestly, I think if I could do this house up and make it as gorgeous, the next thing I'd be like is the house isn't big enough.
Yeah.
It's not where I want to raise my children, so now I need to actually get somewhere bigger because I want a bigger garden, or I want a driveway and all this stuff. And you're constantly looking at it. Like, I think especially now with the housing market and things, how expensive houses are, are a joke at the minute, and I'm surprised anyone can afford to buy a house right now.
I know. People can't. It's crazy. And, like, it's one of the main reasons me and Harvey would like to move to Scotland is because the housing market up there is so much better.
Yeah.
And, like, the area I live in, it's not too bad, but, like, the house that we live in right now, my mum could probably put it on the market for, like, 200 grand.
Yeah.
And that's you got to save a 20 grand deposit. Like, that's crazy.
And it's like...
Like, how... where?
I know.
What? I've just paid 2.5 grand on my car fix.
Yeah, like where? That's
we want to get married. Like.
Yeah, it's like as soon as you've got a decent amount of money where you think, great, something happens and it brings it down. And I just think you're constantly chasing.
Yeah.
Like, in your 20s, that's all it is you are constantly chasing.
Yeah, one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, because let's be honest, everything revolves around money. Everything we're going to talk about in this episode is revolving around money.
Yeah.
Babies. Getting married, getting a house, like literally everything. Probably the only thing that's not is when we talk about like comparison and like that kind of thing. But realistically, it is. And because, again, social media looks like a highlight reel, it makes it look like everybody's got it figured out or everyone's got loads of money when realistically, probably not.
No.
You know? So I think in regards.
Definitely not.
No. I think in regards to that side of things, now I understand that more where it's like, it might look great, but it's not all what it seems.
Yes.
And I've started looking backwards now at appreciate what you've got, though. You have a house that you can call your home that, you know, when you move out, you can sell towards your next home. Like, it's little things like that instead of being quite ungrateful and being like, right, but it's not big enough or it's not designed exactly how I want. Like, the amount of clients that compliment my home when they walk through, yet for years I was like, right, okay, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
Your house is gorgeous.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Like, so gorgeous.
But it's like, again, because you're living in it, you see all the negatives.
Yeah,
and I think it's very... One of the biggest tips I wish I could tell someone in their early 20s is to just kind of step out of that highlight reel and step out of what everyone else is doing.
Constantly chasing as well.
Yeah, constantly chasing things. And kind of just look at what you have and be grateful for that. Because I really wish a couple of years ago I was like, right, but you've got a house.
Yeah.
Stop moaning. Like, do you realise how many people wish they could be in this situation? So, yeah, I think definitely a lot of self-reflection in the last couple of years. But, again, in your 20s, you're immature. You're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the same. I'm not the same person I was when I were 21.
No, definitely not.
At all.
I'm not either.
I know.
Not even in the slightest.
I do kind of wish that people would realise that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 21, I wanted this big wedding. I wanted, you know, huge... I was... always nagging at Oliver, like, when are we going to get married? When are we going to get married?
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait. You're going to propose to me soon. You're going to propose to me soon. And people still hold that against me now.
Yeah.
Even though the way I think about all that kind of stuff is so different. If anything, I'm the one that's like, I want to wait.
Yeah.
I want to wait. Like, Oliver keeps saying about saving up for a ring, but he wants a new car. I'm like, get your new car instead.
Yeah.
Don't save up that amount. I'm like, don't spend loads. Whereas Shannon at 21 would have been like, I want you to spend 5 months of wage on my ring. I want a big Cinderella dress. Like, you're not the same person, but it's almost like people hold you against what you said when you're younger.
Yeah.
At least that's how I've seen, well, noticed things anyway.
Well, like, I mean, me and Javier, we got engaged last year. And we're, like, in the process of, like, deciding. We thought we'd decided what we wanted for the wedding. And we've gone, I think, maybe, like, 5 different options trying to, like, figure out what we really want.
Mm.
And it's all very complicated, like, with family and all of that sort of stuff. But I think we've just sort of... We talked about it, actually, the other day. Because last I'd spoke to you about it, it was going to be like... Because originally we were going to have just 8 of us.
Yeah.
It was just going to be a small wedding. And then we changed our mind to have a few more people there so that we could have it a bit more... I don't know, like, suppose celebrate it a bit more.
Yeah.
But now I think that we've, like, after actually looking at how much it's going to cost and really putting into perspective what that money could be used for, we've now gone the complete other end of the spectrum and we're like, actually, we're probably just going to do it me and him, because, like, and we'll have like a party at some point, but I just think that, like, I don't know, I think it's so it's so pointless.
I think when you're doing it for the right reasons and you're doing it because you love each other, which I do think is something that is so lost nowadays, it is, let's have a big fancy wedding because let's show off to everybody.
Yeah.
I want to show everybody how much we love each other by how much money we're going to spend on our wedding. And it is not that at all. Like, I think it shows so much the strength of your relationship if you could get married just you two.
Yeah.
And... because that's why you're doing it. Because it's about you two. Have a little like celebration afterwards because, you know, you want your family. Like, it's celebrating it with your family. As
yeah.
Well, but I think that gets lost a lot now is people think, let's spend all this money on a wedding that literally could be a house deposit. And but it's all right, but it's literally like just for one day. And I mean, I know that's my own personal opinion and other people might disagree, but...
but a lot of people that I've spoken to, like... obviously I talk to my clients about it and quite a few of my clients are married or have been married, they pretty much every single one of them has said that they regret doing their wedding day the way they did it, and everyone that said that has had a big wedding because they've said that they it's just not, the day wasn't what it was supposed to be. Like,
it never is.
No,
you can never. It's like, you know, when you go on a night out and always the best nights out were ones that were random. It was, should we just go out tonight? Yeah, let's go, because there were no expectations were given. Whereas if you are planning a night out for weeks and weeks and weeks and you're planning your outfit and you go
you're not gonna have a good time.
Like,
no,
you're like, oh well, that were a bit shit.
Yeah,
you know. And it's the same way with that. I think it is. The more you plan and hype up a day, realistically it's not going to meet that expectation. No, you've got
definitely not. And I think that's what it is. It's like you plan, you do all this planning and you spend all this money expecting something that you shouldn't even be expecting. Like, at the end of the day, like, a wedding day is for you and your partner. And that's the most important.
It's like the amount of clients that I've had that have been getting married and they're like, I'm inviting that person, and
I know.
I mean, or they'll have a family argument because you're not inviting this person. I've always said to them, if they want to come, say you can come, but you can pay for yourself. Bet they don't want to come then. As soon as they realise how much it is per head for a meal, I bet they won't want to come. They'll be like, no, don't worry about it. I'll just see you at night, Like, and that's it. It's if people love a freebie.
Yeah,
don't they?
They do. Yeah,
that's what it
is. And also, they like being involved. Like. It's, which I just think is, it's all just very, planning a wedding is not easy. And like, part of me wants to have other people there to celebrate with, but I also know that, like, in that process, I'm going to lose sight of what...
Why you're doing it. The
commitment, because that's what it's about.
Like, because all I hear from people is... about how you don't realise how much planning there is and what there is to plan until you start planning it.
I know.
And then it's like, once you've started, mega. I bet. That's the reason why I don't want to do one, because I don't think I could be bothered.
No.
I really don't think I could be bothered planning it. Oh, don't get me wrong, when my time comes, I'm probably going to be a bit like, oh no, this is lovely. But again, I do think it's dependent on that person. And like, if you're listening to this and you did spend loads of money on your wedding, like, you go, girl. That we're not saying it's a bad thing or a negative thing, but from our personal points and the pressure of it coming young, like, God, how old were you? Like, my grandma was like, I think 21 or something when she got married and then had kids straight away. Like, she says to me all the time, by your age I was married and I had three kids, and I'm like, but it's not like 19 whatever anymore.
No,
like, it's literally it's 2025 and there's so much more to it than just
getting married
and having kids.
But there also isn't.
That's
the thing, is like, is that because I think of how much we see on social media and how much we see of what other people are doing, we think that we've got to have everything figured out, and like, we think that we've got to have this like big show-offy wedding, or like, we've got to like own a house to have children. Like, really, it doesn't need to be that way. The difference in that generation, so that's like two generations ago, like our grandparents, I think, like, the difference in between them and us is that they just got on with it. They just got married. They found the person they loved. They got married very quickly and they had a family. Like, they didn't think too much about it. And a lot of what they experienced was a hell of a lot easier than what we're experiencing. But also, there was no messing. Do you know what I mean?
It was just you do what you need to
do. Like, you don't overthink it.
Yeah, whereas now you've got the pressure of, okay, in your early 20s, guess what? You need to travel.
Yeah.
Because if you don't travel now, you're never ever going to see the world and you'll regret it. Okay, so I've got to travel. But then it's like, no, but while you're traveling as well, you also need to make sure you've got a home.
Yes.
Because you haven't achieved anything if you don't own your own home. Right, okay, I've got to own a home. Okay, and then guess what? If you're with your person and you've been together over 5 years and he ain't proposed, he don't love you.
Yeah.
He don't love you. Oh my god, no, you're not going to work out. No, sorry. No, okay, so I've got to be engaged. Okay. Yeah. Then you've got to get married because you can't have a long engagement.
But your proposal's got to be good as well.
Oh, yeah, and your proposal's got to be like amazing and, you know, the biggest thing in the world. Otherwise, you know, the bigger the proposal, the more he actually loves you. It's got nothing to do with anything or like that. And then you've got to do that. Then you've got to get married and then you've got to have your baby by this and you've got to have a 2-year gap in between your first baby and your second baby. Yeah. It's like, give me a break. Honey.
I know, but that's the thing is, like, that's what I was saying. Like, there's such a difference generationally because, like, they just didn't think about it that way. They just, like, they met, they fell in love, they got married, and they figured it out from there.
Yeah.
And, part of me wishes that I'd have just married Harvey, like, straight away.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it would have made a difference. We'd still be together.
Yeah, see, I think the opposite way. I'm kind of glad that we've waited because, like I say, if I got married back when I actually really wanted to, I would have done it for all the wrong reasons. I would have done it for the showy wedding. Yeah. I would have done it to show off.
Yeah.
Whereas now,
you've thought about it differently. Yeah.
Like, I've even said to Oliver, let's just elope. However, he doesn't want to. He wants the thing, which obviously is his wedding as well, which I think is forgotten. It's all, everything's to do with the woman. Like, the amount of times I get asked, how long have you been with your partner? And as soon as I say 10 years, oh, have you got a ring? That's the next question.
Yeah.
And it's literally the most frustrating thing because people automatically assume it's his decision. He doesn't want to propose to me and there's something wrong with me. Yeah. And what people don't realise is I'm not going to sit and explain myself. I don't need to explain my relationship or why we're not engaged to anyone.
No.
But it makes me feel like I have to of how people are with me. Yeah?
Yeah.
I almost feel like people feel sorry for me. And it's so frustrating because what they don't realise is they don't see mine and Oliver's relationship and how fantastic it is.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you've been together 10 years without a ring. That means more than being together
but
10
we've
years
also,
with
like,
a ring.
You know, we've done other things like got a dog.
Yeah.
And we have a mortgage together. We share cars. Like, we have been so many places. We've been, like, skiing. We've been to New York. We've been to Egypt. We've been to all these things. No one gives a shit about that.
No.
And all the life experience we've had together. But what I don't think people realise is the main reason me and Ollie have waited is, one, money.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely honest. Money. And number two, well, there's actually three reasons. Number two is, if we did all these things when people said to, it wouldn't be when we feel like it's the right time. And then also, the third reason has actually left my brain. So we're doing round two of that.
She's done it again.
Yeah. Oh, what was it?
It's gone.
Yeah,
she's left the chat. It'll come back.
Yeah, it probably will, yeah. But it is, it's really like, I don't owe anybody an explanation as to why we haven't been together. Like, all these, oh, that was it. Third reason's come back, that we have been together 10 years and we are still so happy together.
Yeah.
Probably happier than we were in the first couple of years.
Yeah.
That we say to each other all the time how excited we are that we still have not lived a full life together. Like, I know some people that have been with their partners a couple of years and they've already done house, dog, kids, and then it's like, what next?
Yeah.
Whereas me and Oliver say all the time, we still haven't got engaged, we still haven't got married, we still haven't had kids. Like, we have got so much stuff to look forward to, and it's so exciting. And the fact that we are still so happy and in love together. Sorry, this isn't just a podcast about how much I love my boyfriend, I swear to God. But, like, we are still we've got a very, very healthy, loving relationship, but we have still got so much to look forward to. And when we do these things, we know it's because we are both ready and it's for the right reasons. But not that I feel like I owed that explanation to anybody, but that is why.
Yeah.
Because people don't see, like, all right, if you want to give me a couple of grand to get married with, we probably would get married or engaged tomorrow, but me and Oliver put our careers first and we've had these chats about things. But,
and also, like, I want to say from my point of view, like, getting engaged is, like, okay, yeah, it's amazing. Like, me and Harvey are engaged and that's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very anticlimactic.
Yeah, a lot, like, of people say that to me as well.
It's like, okay.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to lie, like, I wanted to get engaged. Like, I wanted to get married. Yeah, yeah. Like, me and Harvey didn't have a extravagant proposal. It was very perfectly intimate. Imperfect.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But then, like, after it happens, you're like, oh.
Now
what? Well, nothing's changed. Like,
yeah.
Because nothing did change.
No.
Like, I've literally got a ring on my finger. That's it.
That everything
and
else stays.
Now we can officially start planning a wedding. But
then I think that's it. Once you're engaged, all right, everyone's like, oh, great, they're engaged. Then everyone's like, but when's the wedding? When's the wedding?
Are you planning?
Yeah. Are you planning for it? Have you planned anything? One of my friends was like, it's the most annoying thing after that is, okay, so what are you doing then?
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I know. And what's annoying about that for me is the fact that I've changed my mind so many times.
Yeah.
So, like, people will ask me, oh, have you done any more about the wedding? And I'm like, well, actually, now I don't want to do it how I explained to you last time.
Yeah.
Now I want to do it this way.
Yeah, but that's it, though, is people are so invested at first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like when people say, when you have your first baby, everyone's like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then when you have the second, everyone's just like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Because as soon as then you've done all that, no one literally cares about, like, no one's nosy anymore. No one's like, oh my God, XYZ. I have known so many people that are married and have children with their partner, and they literally are so unhappy and have got divorced and done all that stuff. So it's like, it proves that all that stuff isn't needed to be in a happy relationship. But if you're doing it for the right reasons and you're doing it when you guys want to, like you say, you've changed your mind so many times because you can, because it's about you and Harvey. It's not about,
about anyone
else. We
need
to just rush it because so-and-so wants us to get married. Like, you're doing what you and Harvey want to do and what you as a couple feel like is for you.
I think that that's what we have, like, really been struggling with, is, like, figuring out what we want.
Yeah.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he's just acting a bit weird. Like, he keeps stretching his legs, and I think he's struggling with tummy. You're right.
I think, like, what was I saying?
You were saying you and Harvey.
Yeah, we've been struggling with, like, knowing what it is we actually want.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that we've finally figured out, like, what it is we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the trying not to give a shit about what anyone thinks about that.
Because you and him are the ones paying for it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the ones who are, it's your day.
Yeah.
So who cares if, you know, Aunt Deborah wants you to get married and next at late. Well, sorry, Deborah, are you paying for it? No, you're not. So.
No, yeah.
You worry about you, hun, and that we'll worry about us.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you get a lot of pressure then, in wedding-wise, or do you feel like you and Harvey are just kind of like not ignoring what everybody else thinks and cracking on?
I think, like, I don't let the pressure get to me. I see my immediate family, but I don't see a lot of my extended family, so, like, my aunts and my uncles and all of that, like, not that there's anything wrong, it's just that we don't see each other very often, like, we're just not connected. So I don't feel like there's a pressure to, like, necessarily invite anyone that I don't want to be there. So I don't feel a pressure in that sense. And also, like, I just don't care.
No, yeah.
I'm like, because so many people have told me that, like, you need to make sure that you do your wedding day for you. Or, like, anything, you know, in life. You've got to make sure that it's right for you and not think about what anyone else thinks. And so I think I've been really trying hard to think that way.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to, like, please everybody.
I know, because I think as well, like, I don't think I realised how expensive it was.
Oh, it's,
like, I bet that
disgusting.
Was a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because now they say you could probably get abroad cheaper, married abroad cheaper than if you got married in the UK.
Yeah.
I cannot believe the price. Like, my clients, the ones that are, like, getting married this year, and they'll tell me, like, how much things are costing, and literally my jaw is on the floor.
It's disgusting.
For a day.
I know.
One day. And I know it's, the, like, you know, it's the happiest day of your life. I get that. But I just don't know. I just don't understand.
No.
Not on the bride's point of view. Like, if somebody really wants that venue, fairs. If you want if you want that and you love that, pay for that, great. I don't understand how it's, like, legally allowed
I know.
For it to be that price.
Because you say wedding and they just tag on.
Yes.
Fucking loads of money.
Extra money. Like, it's somebody, like, makeup, innit? Wedding makeup. All right, I'll add on an extra £50, even though I'm doing the same thing.
Somebody told me the other day, actually, that I think it was one of my clients said that one of her friends had gotten married, and they, like, had booked, like, a restaurant or something for afterwards. It was like a smaller wedding.
Yeah.
But they didn't say that it was for a wedding. They just made the booking as like a normal booking.
Yeah.
And it got to like the end and they were like, oh, we're gonna have to charge you more because we didn't know it was a wedding. Like, why? Like,
I remember when
there's
I
not
was
any
a,
more work yeah, involved.
When I was a makeup artist, my bridal makeup was more expensive than normal makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And when people used to, like, no one queried it, but you know, you'd see it online, like, oh, why did it? Honestly, I couldn't tell you why.
No.
Everything I did was the same. I used the same products. Yeah. I did everything the exact same way. The only thing that was probably different is that I went to the venue. So really, it should have been charged for a normal price of makeup. But
plus
added
travel.
On the,
yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I used to obviously be like, no, no, it's because it's a wedding.
Yeah.
But really, it's just because it's a wedding, so people can up the prices.
We wouldn't charge more for nails.
And thank you.
Would we?
I know. That's what I literally
maybe
was
we should,
just
but
thinking.
We wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
I like, wouldn't, like, just because somebody's getting married, I wouldn't charge them more. In fact,
yeah.
I'd be inclined to charge them less. I'd
yeah.
be like, babe, you
yeah,
can have a discount.
Yeah, literally. Like, oh, you're getting married. Oh, right, well, I'll add an extra tenner on it.
No.
It makes
no
difference.
If you did that to your clients, they'd be like, what? The fork, like,
yeah, everywhere else is allowed to do yeah. it, venues and all the, I'm sorry, why do you need like 20 grand for
yeah.
a day? What are you paying your staff for 20 grand a day? Because I want to work there if this is the case.
I
like
know.
I do, it blows my actual mind how
it's
expensive
bonkers.
It is. And yeah, it's, I think it is, like, it's that, it's the, again, the price going back
yeah.
to that of everything. Because at this day and age, when you're trying to figure out your career as well, like, how much pressure is that, figuring out your career so you're able to do all these things
yeah.
properly?
I think also, like, the pressure on the man to make sure that he's got enough money to, like, pay for the ring and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I told Harvey, I was like, if you spend more than £500 on a ring, I will kill you.
I've said that to Oliver, and his response was, I think I told you, didn't I, that he was like...
but you
no.
deserve it.
Yeah, he was like, you deserve it. And then he was like, and I want to give you what you've been waiting for since you were a little girl, which absolutely, like, makes my heart explode.
Yeah.
But I
but when
do
you think
not
practically
want...
you're like, wait.
But then because I love him so much, I don't want that pressure on
no,
him.
I know.
I don't want him to be like, there's a lot of pressure. And I'm not gonna lie, because we've been together so long, and you know, family say a lot of things about it quite often.
Yeah.
Like, every time we go see my grandma, Oliver's like, right, I'll say to him, are you ready?
Yeah.
Like, we have to prepare ourselves to just be like, let it go over our heads. But how much pressure is that on him then?
I know.
Like, he's got all these people, like, when are you going to do it? And it's built up to this big, big thing. And it got to the point once, it was like a couple of years ago, where he'd turn around to people and he was like, every time somebody asks, I had a year on.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, because we're not doing it when
just
you
piss
want
everyone
us
off.
To. Yeah. But probably the main thing that bugs me is the fact that people hold me to what I used to say when I was
yeah.
younger. When I was like 22, yeah, fairs, getting engaged was like the main thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really care that much about my career. I was like, I want to get engaged, I want to get
yeah.
married. Oh my God, this is why I want to do it. Now I have such a different outlook to it, and it's so frustrating that people don't realize you grow up.
Yeah,
you know
no.
what I mean? But you could do that for any aspect.
Changes.
You could, yeah, you might not want a house anymore, or you
yeah.
might want to go traveling instead, or vice versa. Like, people are allowed to change what their priorities are.
And also, like, you know, you don't know what life is going to throw at
mm-hmm.
you. Like, is really being married like the most important thing? Like, everyone has different priorities.
I know, like, my career was the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Like,
do you feel like, I was going to ask you about this actually, now that we're moving on to career.
Mm.
Do you feel like you have your career figured out? Like, do you feel like being a nail tech is what you want to do forever? Because my Sandra, my college tutor,
yes.
she was saying to me that she was thinking about, like, moving away from nails and getting a different career because she doesn't feel like it's sustainable.
I worry about when I'm older.
Yeah.
I worry about probably 45 plus.
Yeah.
And when I'm 45 plus, that's when I'm like, what am
mm-hmm.
I actually going to do? I mean, I could still be a nail tech. I don't know. This is what I mean. I try not to really think about that because it worries me. Because right now, I feel so content. I'm like, I finally figured out this, which is why now me and Oliver are starting to maybe move on to the more exciting things, like
yeah.
all these things we're talking about. But I very much feel like right now I'm content. But yeah, it worries me in the future because I'm like, well, what am I going to do when I'm 45?
Mm. Yeah.
Not exactly 45, but around that age.
Because I think about that and I think, like, I feel like I've got it figured out now, but how long am I going to feel like that for?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to feel like that forever?
Yeah.
Or am I going to feel like...
One day you'll wake up and be like, you know what,
I don't
want to
do it. Yeah.
yeah.
And then what? Like, then you've got to figure it out all over again?
Yeah, I know. Like, that's why I don't really think about it, because yeah, I think I've spent my entire life of, what am I going to do? I always, like I said in one of the previous episodes, I always panicked, like, I am never going to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, I just did. And now when I think about it, I'm just like, oh, like, it feels like such a weight lifted off my shoulders that I'm enjoying it now. But I did say to someone the other day that the reason I'm working so hard now and wearing myself to, like, you know, doing everything that I can do is so, like even with the podcast and all this stuff and with my career and not spending money on a wedding yet and, you know, a baby or whatever, because I want a good cushion now that then it's all figured out when I do have those things. Yeah. You know, it's like a base layer, isn't it? So it's like I'm only kind of focusing on the now and what I can do now to better my future, but I don't think about what I'm going to do in the future.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. What I mean? Yeah, because you also, like, you don't know how you're going to feel, like, when you do have a baby. Like,
exactly.
What if you have a baby and you don't want to go back to it?
Yeah.
You just want to be a mum.
Literally.
Like, you don't know how you're going to feel in those situations. So I think, like, that's like, it's really important to, like, focus on where you're at now and just focus on that.
Exactly. And then, like, when you're saying that about, you know, you don't know whether you want to go back or whatever, I think that is another thing that we've done, is we've focused on getting our careers, like, we focused on careers now and not any of that other stuff, because we are actually working towards that. That's why we're doing it. Like, I am doing this job and earning this money for a wedding and for my kids and for all that stuff. What people don't realize is that people just think, oh, they're ignoring it, it's fine. But it's not that. You work hard now so you can, you know, put that money in,
you can enjoy that. Those things. Yeah,
I don't want to have a wedding that I'm paying off on a credit card for 10 plus years because we couldn't afford it. Well, it wasn't in our budget, but we did it anyway because people said, it's, oh, you got to get married now, or you got to have a baby now. I don't want to be stressing when I have a baby. I want to have my baby and be like, but I'm okay on the career side of things too, because I have, like, friends from the past that have had a baby and not figured out the career next. So, like, now they're stressing about a career, or, you know, they're thinking, well, what do I want to do now? Yeah. Whereas when I have my baby, I'll have already figured out all these other things for me to be like, I can put my 100% focus on my kid.
Yeah.
And everyone does it differently. There's no, again, there's no right way to do it. Like,
there really isn't. Like, because I know if I'd have had my way when I was younger, I would have had children. I'd have, like, a 7-year-old right now.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have done, because that's what I wanted, but that's not what life, like, planned for me. And I'm now that I look back, I'm so grateful that, like, I have waited to have children, or maybe not have children, but I'm so glad that life didn't give me that.
It's like everything happens for a reason. Definitely. Like what we say, but I think
there's loads of people that have babies, like, in their early 20s, and
they're loving,
like,
life.
Yeah, they love it.
It's worked out for them. Like, some people were literally born to be parents. That's their sole focus, And that's what I mean, is everybody has it done a different way, and that's why we're doing this episode, because it's there's such a pressure of the right way to do things, and it's not the right way to do things as a society, it's the right way to do things as an individual.
Yeah, for you.
Like, mine's probably career, marriage, babies, whereas, like, my sister, me and my sister were talking, and she was saying how she... I think we touched on this in another episode. Yeah. She wants the family life first. She's never been bothered about a career, whereas I'm obviously career first. And each woman can do it whatever way they want, and it's no one else's point of view to tell them if that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's right if it feels right for you.
Yeah.
And I see, and my friends, same age as me, they're mums, and they are all absolutely incredible mums. Mm-hmm. They are, like, I look to them and I'm like, I want to be that, like that, because they all, their kids are their literal lives, and you can so tell how happy each one of them are.
But you want to, like, have children at the right time when you know that you can give it your all.
Yeah.
And that you can, that you're not gonna, like, feel like, oh, like, now what? Do you know what, when they get older?
But within, like, saying that, my friends have said to me before, there's never a right time.
No, there never
is a right
time. So,
like, they'll say, when are you going to have one? And I'm like, not yet. I just want to, you know, I want a bit more money in the emergency, or I want this. And they're like, Shannon, there's no right time. No. And, like, right now, I know that a bit more now, whereas if it happened, it happened. You know, it wouldn't be a negative thing. It'd be a lovely thing. But it's the whole, oh, God, do I need a bit more of this? Do I need a bit more of that? it's just scary because, again, it's society making you feel like you have to have a kid by a certain age, but then it's society also making you feel like you have to buy all these things and travel and do all this stuff. Like, there's no winning.
No, there isn't.
At all.
No. It's funny, though, because I think, like, I think that you've made the conscious decision to put your career first.
Mm, yeah.
And, like, decided that. Whereas I think, like, for me, I was more forced to focus on that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think that I can have children. Yeah. So, like, that decision was sort of taken away from me. I've, like, had to...
switch what your priority was. Yeah,
yeah. Like, because when I was, you know, a teenager, I thought that, like, my mum put her sole focus into her children.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she focused on. And, like, what she did for work was just to pay for us.
Yes.
So that she could try and give us a good life.
Yeah.
It wasn't that what she's done is what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. It was just to make sure that we were okay.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
That your priority was
My mum put like everything into having us. Mm. And that's what she wanted, and she always knew she wanted to be a mum, and that's what I thought that my life would be. Like, I thought I would like get married young and have babies. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought that that's where my life would go. Like, that's if I had my choice, that's where it would have gone.
Yeah.
I'd have had like multiple children by now.
Mm-hmm.
But because that hasn't happened for me, I think like I sort of like that almost made it harder for me to figure out what it was that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It made me sort of be like, oh shit, like,
so that's
life
not,
hasn't
that's
gone
not
yeah yeah
first or happened yeah but, so what now
exactly
sort of thing,
yeah.
Yeah, so then you were kind of forced into the career side of it because what else did you have to kind of focus on?
Exactly. Yeah. And how do you I don't know.
It's like totally switching it.
I think it wasn't like a switch that like just happened. It was like a gradual thing over time. Mm. Like a realization that like, okay, well then my life isn't going the way I thought it would, so where now?
Yeah.
Like what do I do now?
Yeah. But again, like figuring it out as you go along.
Yeah.
That is that's what we're like with you saying that your mum had a job and had a kids and then had a job just to pay for bills. Like that could happen. Like someone might be listening who's doing that now, but that's not to say life's going to do a total 360 and then you're going to focus on your career and then you're going to find the career of your dreams. Like,
no,
it could happen in so many different ways.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Who knows, that it could be that when I'm a mum all of a sudden I'm like, screw my career.
Yeah.
I didn't know being a mum are going to be this brilliant, let's do this. And then like, you know, yours could switch at some point where you're like, whoa, I want to do this instead. But I think it's again feeling like it has to go a certain way, and once it's gone that way it can't change again.
Yeah.
I do think it really can. Like, if somebody wants, like the whole Vera Wang didn't start her, she made her first wedding dress when she was like what, 50 I think it is.
Really?
Yeah. So like it shows, I guess. Yeah. I've always thought about that, like Vera Wang didn't start till she was 50.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm okay. And then like Friends, you know, when they're
Friends,
in the first,
yeah.
You know, like, weren't you that told me that like up to series summit they were actually only in the 20s, but it doesn't look like it. It's like sit by series, series 9 of Friends.
Rachel,
or something.
Rachel turns 30, doesn't she? In
yeah, and in that she's what? Do you remember in that she's like, I thought my life would be so
yeah,
different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm dating a guy that's younger than me, and I'm not where I want to be in my
crisis,
career.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I remember when I heard that, that just made me feel so much better. I was like, okay, and Friends, they're literally at my age in this season, so
yes.
I'm already ahead of that sort
of
thing.
Monica and Chandler didn't have their babies until they were like 32, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, perfect. To me, that's perfect.
My sister's, she's 31. She? Sorry, Isabel, I've got that wrong. Yeah, but she's 31 and she, you know, she's, Rosie's only 8 months old, so she, you know.
But like, you've got the two ends of the spectrum, haven't you? You've got those who choose to be younger mums and they get to be, you know, closer in probably age to them, you know, to their child, and they have those really, really amazing bonds, which I think is lovely. And then you've got the older mums that are more, maybe figured themselves out more, which again is what another reason I want to wait, is because I knew my mental health was very bad, and I knew if I added a kid onto that, it wouldn't be fair on the child.
Yeah, mental health is another side of it, isn't it?
Because you got to think about, like, I always do think about that, and especially like with the relationship I had with my mum too.
Yes.
I was terrified I was going to be my mother.
Yeah.
Terrified. So I at one point I said to Oliver, what would you think if I didn't want children?
Yeah.
And that really scared me. So I always was like, I'm not saying definite no to kids. However, I'm going to say no for now because I could not look after a child with my mental health the way it was. But now I feel like I am a complete different person, and I have got to grips of it, and I am nowhere near, I'd say I'm completely not like that anymore, that now I can see it from a different perspective, that no, now I will have more patience as a parent.
Yeah.
Now I will be able to give more of myself to the potential children that I have. But that's why I think there's two different ends of it, of if you whatever you feel like, everyone's just trying their best. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
And that's all we can ask for.
I think that that's like, that's one thing that you should take away from this episode. Like, if you're feeling pressure from anybody, like whether it be in your like to figure out your career, or whether it be to have a certain wedding, or whether it be to have babies, like we're all just figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like,
and even if
you're
none like
of 20, us know what is happening.
Even though me and Liv, like, I know in this we were like, oh well, I feel like we have got it figured out. Like, even if you're 29 and you start figuring it out, you've got so much time.
Yeah.
Like, so much time. And I think we all need to just take this, like, is it societal?
Yeah.
Societal pressure off ourselves and just be like, you know what? We're trying our best right now, and let's focus on this year.
Yeah.
Because in the grand scheme of things, a year is not big in your lifetime.
No.
But a year is long enough for you to figure out a lot in that year. Like, you could, you know, work towards something in a year, and it's enough time for you to figure it out, but it's not too much in the grand scheme of your life that you've wasted that time.
I mean, look at what you've achieved in a year.
Yeah, that's what I do think. I'm like, I even said to Oliver, even if we have one more year of, you know, saving, in the grand scheme of things, it's not long, because what then if I'm like 30 when we decide to do X, Y, Z? That's fine, but then it's enough time to save a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I changed my perspective to that, I felt so much more like, oh,
yeah.
But like Liv said, it's you know, it's what you want to do, and it's in the order you want to do it, and we're not saying what, the right way or the wrong way. It's down to you and what you and your partner or what you alone think, because I think you can have societal pressure, but you can also have pressure on yourself.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on yourself. Like, you can really, like, like, you can battle with yourself constantly.
And especially like social media pressure as well.
Yeah,
you go online and you see, okay, someone's either, like, let's be honest, you go on TikTok and it's either a video of someone traveling somewhere, or it's someone with a massive group of friends going out all the time, or it's someone in the perfect looking relationship getting married and having babies. Like, there's aspects of all of our life that can feel the pressure, and then the judgment if you don't do it.
And like the jealousy as well, I think.
Oh god,
as well. Definitely. I think that that's like one thing that I've changed my mindset on with not having children, is like, it used to make me like feel really like jealous or envious when I saw like somebody like having a baby or like getting pregnant.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, like, nah.
Yeah. Because
I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, like, you see women, and especially like, there's a lot of women now that are choosing to be child free or are just child free because of things that they can't help. And, you know, there's, again, the same as having children, there's pros and cons to both, but I think it's what suits you at the time. Like, you never know, in a couple of years, you and Harvey might even think, should we adopt, or should we, like...
Oh, yeah, that's what we want to do.
Is
I think
that what you're
thinking? We definitely have decided that we're going to adopt, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Unless, like, we get pregnant. But even if I, like, I don't know, pregnancy scares me.
Me too.
Because I watched what my sister went through, she just did not have a good pregnancy at all. Like, she was sick for like a good 20 weeks, and then I think she had maybe like 4 weeks where she was all right, and then she got diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Then she couldn't, so basically her whole pregnancy was just shit.
See, it scares me as well. But the older I'm getting, the more scared I am of childbirth.
Yes, same.
Like
that, like, I never even thought about it. Like, I thought, like, when I was younger, it was just like, oh, you'll figure it out. Like, it happens. Like,
yeah.
But now that, like, I think that comes from the more people you talk to, like, the more women you talk to, and more experiences you hear about, and negative experiences.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that most of the women that I have spoken to, their pregnancy or their birth has been a negative experience.
I've had both. both sides.
Yeah.
I've had friends who have glowed all the way through the pregnancy and
everything
went right.
Yeah, but have they really, or have they just been lying?
I would say these friends are honest.
Okay.
Honest in that, like, I'm quite close.
That's
friends
fine,
with one of them. And, but it was obvious.
Not
like,
me coming for your friends.
Don't worry, guys, I got your back. But, like, they have said, you know, I really enjoyed my pregnancy and I'd love to do it again. Like,
yeah.
I really have, like, thrived in pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then I have the opposite end where some friends are like, oh, God, it was awful. Which,
yeah.
You know, I think anybody that's been through pregnancy and childbirth, like...
Well done. Round of applause.
For the podcast listeners, I am applauding. But it's just, it terrifies me.
Yeah.
It really does. And the older I'm getting, I'm like, I can't leave this too long, otherwise
no.
I'm going to be like, no.
So are you, I don't know if this is too personal, but are you bothered about having biological children?
I would like to.
Would you? Why?
I'd have, like, one biological, but then I also wouldn't mind adopting, because obviously, like, Oliver's got little brothers that are adopted, and I can just, you don't even notice the difference.
No,
like,
of course you don't.
We see them as ours, and that's it, but I would like to see, I'd like to see what me and Oliver would create. We were saying that last night to his mum and dad, we were both like, let's be honest, we're going to have a pale little ginger Chucky running around, like, with a bit of Asperger's, maybe a touch of ADHD in there, you know, it'd be a right concoction, but...
Do you worry about, like, genetically what you would pass on?
God, yeah, all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, that was...
Does that not make you want to not have biological children?
Not enough to not make me want it, no.
Really?
Because I just think... Now, when I was young, maybe not younger, but maybe a few years ago, that's why I was terrified to have kids, because I just thought, oh my God, like, I don't want to end up like my mum and being like that and all that sort of stuff. But I do think that now, I think as long as that kid is loved, that's all that I really care about.
Yeah.
And we'd figure it out as we went along, sort of thing. And I think I almost can't think into that stuff too much. That's where I'm like, check yourself.
Yeah.
You can't think into it too much, so let's just see what happens, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Why does that, like, would it scare you?
I don't think that there's anything really genetically wrong with me. I think it's all right, but...
Nice for some.
But I think, like, for me, it's like, I'm quite a deep thinker on this subject. Like, me and Javi have had, like, numerous, obviously, as you can imagine, numerous conversations about it. And I think, like, we're just very much of the opinion of, like, why add another human to the world?
Me and Oliver say this.
There
oh
doesn't
my
need
God.
To be another human in the world. You can just love the ones that already exist.
Yeah, that's so true.
And that is really, like, thinking about it in that way has completely, like, flipped my perspective on it. Don't get me wrong, like, if I got pregnant, I'd be really happy and it would be a positive thing.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be disappointed.
No.
Like, I would be over the moon, because obviously
yeah,
that would be a miracle for
me.
But I think, like, being able to adopt and to love a child that is already on this earth and for some reason has been neglected, to be able to give, like, a child that already exists a loving home, to me is, like, way more important than, like, seeing what, like, my baby would look like, or, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I know,
me experiencing pregnancy and childbirth, like, to me that doesn't really matter.
Like, when I look at Oliver's little brother, like, every single time I look at him, it, like, when I think about it, it almost makes me cry, because I'm just like, the life difference you could have had, the difference in your how you are as a person and what you would have experienced is too totally end of the scale, and it does just show how much a kid just needs love. It doesn't even need all this fancy stuff. It just needs to be cared for and loved. And I literally, like, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't think I want, like, if my sister hadn't got pregnant through IVF, I said to her, is adoption an option?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, not really. And I'm like, but I don't think you realise, unless you've been through it, how much you don't actually realise that you're adopting a child. Mm-hmm. They just become yours and they're a part of your family. And it's crazy how much love you can have for something that, like, to me, I don't think blood matters.
No.
I don't think that matters. But
I
would, like
either.
I say, I would want to experience having my own child at least one time. I really want a daughter.
If you couldn't, would that...
If I couldn't, I'd adopt, 100%.
Would it upset you if you couldn't?
I think there'd be a time where I'd be like, oh my God, this is rubbish. And I would want that. I've always wanted that, just so... I've always really wanted to have a daughter, and I know you can't pick the gender. I know that's not how it works. If it was a son, it would obviously I'd be happy with whatever, as long as it's a healthy baby, that's all that matters. But I've always wanted my own daughter to break a cycle of the like the mother and daughter relationship that I know and that's been in, kind of in my family. Because me and Oliver were talking about it a bit last night. It was Mother's Day. Mother's Day yesterday, if I don't know when this episode will be going out, but it was Mother's Day yesterday. And Oliver was like, you know, just checking in, like, you good? And I was like, yeah, all good. And we were talking.
In, by the way, and you didn't reply to my voice note, so rude.
Did you voice note me?
It was a couple of days ago.
Oh, okay. My bad, sorry. But yeah, and he said to me last night, I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but he said, but you're breaking... Oh, because I said something like... I just don't understand how someone couldn't love or care for their child. And I say, like, I haven't even had a child yet and I already know the way I would feel. I know. Okay, human child, Milo, love you so much. But, like, I could never... I haven't had a child yet. I don't know how it feels to be a mum, but I already know that I would never let any harm come to that child ever. I would kill before I'd let that happen. And a part of me... was scared to have kids because I really felt like it would really hit me in a way that's like, it would make me realise how, I feel like it'd like affect me emotionally with seeing, I love this kid so much, so how could my mum do what she did in that way? So then I was a bit like,
You think that it would have like maybe made you, it would have hit you really hard and sort of made you mentally...
Like, and it's sad, but I've almost tried to just turn that into a positive and be like, but imagine how much more I will probably love my own child or a child. So yeah, I would love to have my own daughter just so I can be like, no, I'm breaking the cycle and I'm just gonna...
But have you thought about it this way, that not having a child breaks the cycle?
Yeah, which is why for a long time I was like, maybe I don't want it because why would I want to... bring a, again what you said, I also am terrified to bring a child into this world at the minute how it is now.
Oh my god, yes,
terrified.
I think that that's another reason, is like, I don't want to make the decision to bring a child into this world the way that it is.
You can't protect them from everything.
No, you can't.
Absolutely not.
No,
you're hearing about all of it at schools. High schools at the minute are terrible.
Oh my god,
there's stabbings and every... oh my god,
it's scary.
And there's a lot more like child suicides and stuff going on. It's I know it's a lot to do with social media, but if I were talking about this to one of my clients, if I had a kid and I didn't give my child a phone because I was scared of them going on social media and being exposed to all this horrible bullying or whatever else there is, then it would protect them from that. But then it would also put them as a target, as you don't have a phone.
Yeah,
you lose it. And also safety. Your kid needs a phone to tell you when they're walking home from school. So you are literally like stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Honestly,
what's best.
Me and Harvey want to move to the wilderness and just raise little like forest children.
Honestly, yeah, just like plate dirt. Yeah. Mine. Yeah. But I do think as well, speaking of that, from working in a nursery, kids are way too cushioned.
Too
cushioned. When I worked in that nursery, some of the rules we had to follow, I just was like, obviously like safeguarding and stuff.
They were
obviously there for a reason. But some of the little things where it was just like, we can't protect these kids from everything. Like, they've got to be able to run about. They've got to be able to, like, you know, little things like, I'd have like some kids that would go outside and be like, they would scream about not having their coat on. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, no, you've got to put your coat on. And a part of me was like, you know what? Let them run around for 5 minutes in the cold and they'll soon come. They'll realise that's what they need to do, is to be given the opportunity. But no, because we're covering them in cotton wool. Put their coat on first. Let them feel the cold and think, shit, it's cold.
Yeah.
Let me get my coat on. Then they'll realise why you're asking them to do it. But I just think everything at the minute is,
they've got
like,
to learn natural consequences. That's what it is.
There you go. You just know how to wrap up my thoughts into one sentence.
Have you...
You do? That's what you are?
That's not good. I hope it doesn't come across condescending.
No, I like it. It's great.
I'm summarising.
Yeah, you summarise. You're like ChatGPT. It's great.
Have you heard of gentle parenting?
Oh, God, yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Mixed opinions with that. I think gentle parenting is... It depends what kind of gentle parent, because you see two totally different ends of the thing. You see the gentle parent in when the parent lets the kid figure things out for themselves and they're there for support and they understand their emotions and they don't just put words in the kid's mouth of like,
yeah,
this is how you're feeling because of this, and they don't just instantly shout at the kid. They take a step back and they're like, but why are you feeling like that, and what's going on?
See, that's what gentle parenting actually is.
Okay, whereas I've seen the side where it's like kids just get, parents just let the kids get away with hitting their sibling, or
no,
like, you know, blowing out the birthday candles on the birthday. That angers me.
That's like permissive parenting, I think.
Okay, I like it when, like, you know, they kind of let them figure it out for themselves and let them feel the emotions and understand maybe why.
I think, like, anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic, but I think it's important. I think it's an important thing that's happening, because I think that it's focusing on, like, it's understanding your child and where their, like, brain development is at different ages, and, like, letting them develop their brain properly rather than, like you said, like, cushioning them too much. And
I think it helps them almost become a bit more self-aware, I've seen, and that's the side of it I love, because I think how empowering is that for, like, a and I love it, you know, when you see them on TikTok and they're doing little affirmations with the kids, and they're like, look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, and all these things. And then you see parents, you know, teaching their kids boundaries. You can say no if someone touches you, like, wherever. Like, I love that. But then there's also the side of TikTok where I see that parents just say the gentle parenting to just let their kid get away with being a bit of an arsehole.
I know.
If I'm being honest. It's like, no.
It's almost like an excuse to step back and be like, oh, well.
Yeah, gentle parenting, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I just think for kids, like, women can do whatever they want to do. I'm so, like, pro
As long as you are loving your child, that is all that matters. I think that, like, it's so easy to judge a lot of women for how they raise their child, what they feed them, what they, you know.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you saw it went viral on TikTok not long ago, and it was this woman, and she had a really dirty house, like, not just a bit untidy and, you know, cluttered, it was neglect. Like, the toilet had black in it, and, like, you know, there was literally nowhere you could walk, and there were, like, mice and stuff. And she was saying that was due to her mental health, and people were in the comments so 50-50 of, she's trying her best, but she's got a mental illness and it's not fair. But then people being like, but when there's a child involved, that's when it becomes a bit, no, it's neglect for the child. And that, anyway, I'm not going to talk about that, but that was a massive thing that went round. And I just was like, this is what I mean with social media now. There's so many opinions and so many people doing parenting so many different ways. It's like, you don't know where you're looking. You're like, oh my God, what's going on?
As long as you're doing your best.
Yeah, but, like, I think as long as you're doing your best, and like you said, they're safe and loved.
Yeah.
Safe, loved, and you're trying your best. I think that's all we're all doing. And if you're a woman out there and you don't want children, or you can't have children, or whatever, I think that makes you no different to all these other people in society. And that's why we wanted to make this, is because we talk a lot about our career and feeling like we're comparing our career and, you know, as a nail technician, if you're better or worse or whatever, you're behind, you're in front, all this stuff. But I think it can be so missed in general day-to-day life of how you live in your life. If you don't want to get married, or you do, or you want to be just a mum and look after your family, or you're a career girl, or whatever you want to do, there's no right or wrong way. And that's why we really wanted to make this episode, to just, like, show it's okay with whatever you feel is important, because then that's important, sort of thing.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree. I think that, like, you've sort of got to, I think it's probably something we've said a few times in this episode, but I think you've got to look at where you're at and be grateful for what you have. Like, don't think about what you don't have or what you haven't achieved. Mm-hmm. Think about where you are and what you have achieved so far. And if you go, like, if you have that positive outlook in life, then you'll find that you'll probably achieve a lot more.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're constantly, like, chasing something or trying to do something because somebody else is doing it, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can get so lost in, that person's done that, so I should. Because I was very, what was it? There was a TikTok video, this was like a year ago, TikTok video came up with this girl, and she'd been with her partner like 8 years, and the comments were all like, oh, love, if you haven't proposed after 8 years, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I looked at that and I thought to myself, literally, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because I'm telling you now, if me and Oliver had got engaged and married when everyone else thought we should have when we were younger, we would be divorced by now, we wouldn't be together. the reason why we are so strong. Like, he is, I say to you all the time, like, my best friend, my biggest supporter. We would not have this relationship now if we hadn't have done things the way we wanted to and not looked at everyone else. But I bet there's so many people, like, probably listening to this, that feel that pressure and are maybe doing it because people think that they're behind, or because it's embarrassing. And if you are happy doing whatever you are doing in life, stick to that. And like you say, don't make that comparison. Focus on what you're doing and what you've achieved, because it's probably going to end up better for you anyway. There's a reason why you feel that now's not the right time. Yeah. You need to listen to your own, what is it?
Instincts.
There we go.
Intuition.
Listen to your own intuition, because my life is 10 times better now than it ever would have been if I'd have listened to what everyone else thought I should have done.
Yep.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah.
You know? Is there what else you want to cover?
Losers.
You're losers. Not you guys. Everyone else.
No, I think that's it. Shall we move on to Nail Tech Spotlight?
Yeah, Nail Tech Spotlight.
Take it away, girl.
Today's, is it the one that we both love and adore and absolutely fawn over?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. So, to this episode's Nail Tech Spotlight is none other than, drumroll, Liv. Can they hear that?
I can't do that.
Whoa. Cut the cameras.
And then you drum roll. Anyway. Off you go.
She's gonna be like, I don't want this one. Is Nailed It by Chelsea.
Yay!
Nailed It by Chelsea. If you haven't seen her, I don't know how you haven't seen her, but she is just a ray of sunshine.
Yes.
She does all the nostalgic
90s.
Yeah, like
2000s.
Mean Girls, Rugrats, all this sort of stuff. I recently did a review of some of her products. Oh my goodness, she's got a shop, she's a nail tech, like, she's doing it all, she's a one-woman show.
I know, that's somebody that I look at and I think, how?
How are you actually look at? She does social media, like, everything. She's just a mum. Cracking, Yeah, she's a mum, isn't she? Yeah, saw her put up something yesterday for Mother's Day, and it was so lovely. But, she's a woman that is literally doing it all. She were at a stall. I remember the first time I saw her business, she was at the nail order Sunday service last year.
Oh, was she?
And she had a stall.
She was at Niche.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
But I didn't know really anything. I was very new to the nail world, didn't know her. And like now, I'm like, oh, I'd like, it's Chelsea.
You're obsessed with her.
I love her. I love her. Her stuff is just so my vibe. I love it. And yeah, she is just an incredibly hard worker. So talented at nail art.
Oh,
she does,
mega.
Wow. She literally does everything.
Yeah,
hello?
She does.
Like, share some talent for all of us, please. But she does everything.
Stealing it all for yourself.
I
that's
know.
Rude.
Rude, Chelsea. But she, her products as well.
Yes.
Phenomenal. Her Cuticle Oil is my client's favourite by far.
Is it?
Yes.
I've never actually tried any of them.
The Nail Smacker Cuticle Oils. Wow, I've got it in grape.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Actually, somebody else was telling me about that the other day.
Yeah. She also does nail art brushes. She just prints everything, and her nail art brushes are insane. One of my favorite is what, like, it's hard. You gotta say that when you're talking about
like
brushes.
It's hard,
literally, that one is my favorite. And then she's just recently released a like Rugrat collection.
I've
seen
that
one. She's
got
the little dotting tools, and then she's got the like chick flick. I don't know if it's I think it's chick flick nail art brushes, and they're becoming a solid fave because they are great. So if you're after new nail art brushes or anything in general, head to Chelsea's shop. I'm sure the link will be in the bio.
Follow her.
Great.
If I remember.
If it's not, you all have permission to shout at Liv. Leave it in the comments. But
tell me off.
But she's honestly
go
so
show her
good.
Some love.
Please do, because I mean, she's got her Instagram, she's bossing it. Have you seen her? She is just,
I know,
God,
mega.
I know. I wish
she doesn't really need a shout out from us.
She done
little old us.
No, literally does not at all. But she listens to the pod as well, doesn't she?
She's
shown a lot of support and things,
she
but
has.
Just for her nail art talent and absolute girl boss behavior, like, she is a woman that is doing everything, and it felt right because, you know, she's a mama, and I think working mums especially, like, I don't know how working mums do it personally, like, I just think, wow, incredible. So go give us some love and a follow, everybody. Thank you very much.
And that's this week's Nail Tech Spotlight.
The end. Imagine if we just finished on that. The end.
But yeah, we hope that this episode has, well, I don't know if it was helpful, but
no, I feel, we but just I had feel a good like, old yeah, natter. Yeah, I think some people just need to hear it sometimes. Yeah. They might feel better. Like, basically, whatever you're doing, as long as you're safe well. And happy, yeah. It's good. It's all good for us, yeah.
As long as you're not harming others,
yeah, that's not
then
what we
you're
want.
Doing well.
Yeah, just crack on with it, guys. Don't care what anyone else is saying. Like, no. you're doing what you're doing, and you're at where you're at in your life for a reason. So
you do, you
big
boo.
Flat slay, nails by Shan, over and out.
Anyway, that's not how we're ending the episode. If it was up to Shan would just like start every episode like, hi, right,
yeah, let's crack on, come on, I ain't got time for this.
And then she'd just go, bye, peace
yeah,
out,
right, I'm done now. It's the self-diagnosed ADHD, yeah. That's what it is.
She just checks out.
I do.
Right, so we're going. New episode every Friday at 7 a.m.
Live. No. Come on. These
episodes. Have it down by now, wouldn't
honestly,
you?
People are going to know when we filmed these last, I know. These next three, like in a cluster, because it's just like
delirious.
Vibes. Yeah.
We're going. Love you lots.
Love you
bye.
Lots.
See you next Friday.
Bye.